Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, o'er a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I am drinking from the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning to every one of you listening to this radio broadcast. I hope you are staying healthy and well as this new Delta variant of the Wuhan CCP COVID bioengineered synthetic virus advances rapidly through communities, congregations, and families, doing much harm and damage to the people's health. Don't be a human guinea pig for Tony Fauci, Bill Gates, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. These individuals and organizations are committing genocide. Please do all that you can to enhance your immune system naturally. Learn all that you can about the COVID vaccine from the sincere and God-fearing medical doctors and virologists that have been canceled by the social media giants. And whatever you do, don't take that unapproved experimental vaccine that will surely shorten your lifespan. As this dispensation winds down, there are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. The title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. G-O-G. This is not the name of some new cyber ninja warrior game, but a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier, almost 2,600 years ago to be more exact. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh at hand. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities? What are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. Then to add even more complexity to the configuration of these events, there has been much added discussion about Psalm 83 war. The Psalm 83 war was written some 3,000 years ago by King David's worship leader, Asaph. Asaph is also identified in Scripture as David's seer or a prophet. So Psalm 83 is an unfulfilled prophecy that must be calculated into the other battles that are still future. Now, to add even More complexity upon complexity, there is a future battle, also called the Battle of Gog in the book of Revelation chapter 20, that occurs at the end of the future millennial dispensation, which dispensation is also identified as the coming kingdom of Christ when he personally rules and reigns upon this earth. We must ask the question, is the Battle of Gog mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 the same event mentioned in Revelation 20? Please listen intently as I untangle this web of future events to lay out a clear panoramic view of prophecy and answer the question, who will and who will not see these events unfold? Jesus emphatically stated, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, Part 4. Gog is definitely a Gentile leader. And we said because he's a descendant of Japheth. There is a strong likelihood that the Antichrist, who leads the armies to the Battle of Armageddon, is an Israelite from the tribe of Dan. In Genesis 49, we have where Jacob tells to his sons, he basically gives them his blessing, his inheritance, and things that will take place in the future. He's a prophet, and he's telling his sons, and it says about Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder. An adder is a poisonous snake. And in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall backwards. And so Dan settled in the northern part of Israel, right over here. Look up here on the map. Here is Israel right here. They got the territory just south of Lebanon. And so they drifted away very quickly, because they had to travel a long distance to come down to Jerusalem, and they became very worldly and drifted away into the heathen nations that surrounded Israel. And so that is one passage in Genesis that gives a clue that possibly the leader, the Antichrist, will not be a Gentile, but he will be a Jew. There's also another passage in the book of Daniel, Daniel 11, 36, 37. The king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself. This king here is the Antichrist, the first prophet mentioned in Daniel 13, not the first prophet, excuse me, the first beast that is mentioned in Revelation 13. But Daniel 11 here, the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself. Okay, remember we said when he goes into the temple and desecrates the temple, he's going to exalt himself to be God. And he's going to end the sacrifices that the Israelites will have in the temple. Here's another key point. The temple has to be built. The temple has to be built. Now, one thing you have to understand, the temple, the rapture, God says the rapture, we learn in the scriptures, the rapture comes as a thief in the night. Now, a thief doesn't advertise that he's coming, right? A thief doesn't wave a banner and tells you or sends you a letter in the mail and says, I'm coming on this certain night to rob your house. Okay, a thief comes without any kind of evidence and leeway that he's coming. He takes you by surprise. So if you have prophetical events before the rapture, then you're like, oh, well, the rapture must be right around the corner. So a lot of prophecy teachers, and I agree with them, say there is no prophecy to be fulfilled until the rapture. Then after the rapture, then you have prophecies that will be fulfilled. But we see these things building. we see similarities in the world taking place. Israel, since they became a nation, has been warring with these nations on and off continuously. And we just witnessed Hamas lobbing bombs, lobbing missiles into Israel and Israel's retaliation. But it's not a confederation of all the nations together going after Israel at this particular point. As I said, Russia has always had their eye on access to the Mediterranean Sea. Do you know that since 2017 that the Russians have a military base in Syria? They have now established a full-blown military base where they can bring in nuclear subs, nuclear naval ships, and they have an airfield here since 2017. They have signed a full agreement. And I say here in your notes that Russia has always had their eyes on access to the Mediterranean Sea because Russia's northern seaports are hampered by severe winter weather. Russia's Pacific coast is sparsely populated and very remote from their major metropolitan cities and capital where Russia's population is concentrated. Most of Russia's concentration is next to Europe, near Europe, and not on the Pacific coast. I told you they don't have any roadways that go from one end of Russia to the other like we have in America. From Atlantic to Pacific, we got roadways going back and forth, and we can get to California or New York or Florida and Washington State with ease. They can't do that in Russia. They have no capability of doing that to get to the Pacific coast. The tundra is severe and harsh weather where in the wintertime it's extreme cold and vehicles, they have to ride right on the tundra. And in the summertime, it's just marshy and wet ground and muddy ground and it's still hard to get equipment. They have cities on the Pacific Ocean. The only way you access that is by ship or by plane. There's no way to access it by train or by automobile. And so Russia, if you could, Doug, maybe put that one picture up, the big picture that we had last week, not that one, but the other one, this one here, Russia has ports up here. Here's Sochi, where the Olympics were a few years back. They could come through the Black Sea, but there's this area right here that is very narrow where you have Istanbul or Alexandria, I believe was the name. No, it wasn't Alexandria. It was Constantinople. Constantinople was another name of this city here, but now because Turkey is Muslim, it's called Istanbul, and very narrow port here, very difficult for them to sail through the Aegean Sea here to get into the Mediterranean. But now that they have access here in Syria, they have a full-blown military base. So their eye is on the Fertile Crescent. They call this the Fertile Crescent, this area here. And they want, Russia wants access and they want mineral rights. They're looking at Israel because Israel has a lot of minerals. And they have a desire to want to get into that area and destroy Israel and remove Israel out of that land. Psalm 83, the Psalm of Asaph. Asaph was also, as we learned about Haman, who was a not only another worship leader for the Lord, for King Solomon, but they were seers. The Bible says they were seers or prophets. So this is a prophecy. Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. Now, Asaph is writing this during a time of peace. Israel was under peace. He's writing this song, this psalm, during a time of peace. But it sounds like there is no peace. But this is, again, this is a prophecy. For lo, thy enemies have a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. Means that they're full of pride. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Key to what these battles. They want to cut Israel off from being a nation. They want to totally annihilate it. We could sit here for an hour or two longer, and I could list for you all the leaders in these nations around Israel who want to see Israel totally destroyed, have no desire to have a peace agreement with them. They want to remove Israel from the face of the earth. And they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles, here they are, there's 10 of them. The tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal, Ammon. And Amalek, and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, and Asher also is joined with them. They have holden or helped the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon. And you can look, the Midianites, Sisera, and Jabin, go back in your Bibles and do a word search and find what the Lord did to those. Sisera, do you remember Sisera, the ruler Sisera? He had a stake put through his head by a woman. He was fleeing from Israel, and he asked for safety in her tent. And then when he fell asleep, she drove a tent stake into his head. Which perished at Edor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Orb and like Zeb. Yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna. I'll get through these. Who said, let us take to ourselves the house of God in possession? Oh my God, make them like a wheel as the stubble before the wind. That's where we get the expression, dust in the wind. The stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as a flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High all over all the earth. And so these nations, it's bizarre that these nations are not involved. Even their modern day names are not called into the battle of Gog. So what the prophecy teachers are saying, this battle must take place prior to the Battle of Gog, but possibly either just before the rapture or right after the rapture, because these nations will be destroyed. I have a list here, and we'll go back to here, but I want to explain to you that who these nations are. And the tabernacles of Edom, the tabernacles of Edom, the red rock city of Petra, they don't have it here, but down here is the red rock city of Petra where the Israelites will flee at the Battle of Armageddon, when the abomination of desolation takes place. Edom dwelt in this area. They were a cliff people. This is a mountainous area. They lived in rocks, in the clefts of the rocks. Interesting enough, is the descendants of Esau. That's where they get the Edom. And Esau lived in this area here. And it says tabernacles of Edom. How many have ever heard of the Bedouin people? The Bedouins. The Bedouins live like people did in the time of Abraham in a tent. They travel. They're nomadic. They're transient. And they traverse all the barren areas in this area here. We would say, well, the Amish are backwards. You know, they don't believe in driving in a car. They don't believe in a zipper on their clothing. They won't drive. They don't have electricity. But I'm telling you, they're multinational and modern people in comparison to the Bedouins. They're living in tents, but different than the Amish. They carry guns, they have lots of bullets, and they carry knives. And they're very territorial, and they're very loyal to the territory that they're dwelling in, and they become very loyal. But they're Muslims. I read somewhere that there are some Bedouins that are so-called Christians, but they live in tents. When we went to Israel, we saw them driving up from Jericho up to Jerusalem. You can see them off in a distance in some of the lands there, and they're constantly moving about. The Ishmaelites is the Saudis. Down here, the Ishmaelites, Saudis, in this territory, would be, they're the Arab people. Ishmaelite is the father of the Arabs. Moab. Was the name of Lot's son through his oldest daughter. Got to go back and read that story of that degenerate incident that took place in Genesis chapter 19. But Lot, Moab, central Jordan possibly would be Moab right over here. This is Moab. They occupied this territory. This is the Dead Sea right here. This is the Jordan River. The Sea of Galilee is up here. And so they occupied this territory. Israel had to defeat them in order to come over here to, this is where they entered the Promised Land, right over here. And if you remember, some of the tribes of Israel settled on the eastern side. Gad, Manasseh, half of the tribe of Manasseh, which was a large tribe, that was one of the sons of Joseph, and one other tribe settled in this area, was it Reuben? But God told them, you can settle there, but you're going to the other side, your men are going to the other side and helping Israel to defeat the Canaanites, and then they can come back after you bring rest and peace to this portion of Israel and defeat the Canaanites on that side. And so the Hagarenes, who are the Hagarenes? You see Hagar in that. You see the word Hagar in there? According to one author, she was the matriarch of Egypt. And possibly Hagar is Egypt, speaking of Egypt, the land of Ham. Hagar went to Egypt. Because interesting, Egypt is a major nation. Why is Egypt not involved in the Battle of Gog? Why are they not one of the nations involved? Gebel, today is called Byblos. It's in the northern part of Lebanon. This is Lebanon right up in here. And there is Gebel right up there. And the northern part is today is called Byblos. Byblos. And it's one of these United Nations heritage sites. I think they call it United Nations heritage site. Very old civilization here they said one of the longest civilizations that has never been interrupted in the world, Giebel, in that territory. So those people in northern Lebanon, Ammon, the other son of Lot, through his youngest daughter, Ben-Ammi was the name of Lot's son, but the city he started was Ammon, and that's the capital city of Jordan, Amman, Jordan. And that would be in this area right in here, Amman. And so Jordan today is occupied by Jordan. The Palestinians possibly could be part of that. Amalek. Moses fought Amalek down in here before he went into Sinai, before they went to Mount Sinai, before the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus chapter 20. You read in Exodus chapter 18 or 17, you read about Moses defeating the Amalekites, or the Israelites defeating. Moses was on a mountaintop with his hands raised, and Aaron and Hur held up his arm while he sat on a rock as he was praying for God to defeat Amalek. So that's this territory down in here near Mount Sinai, and part of Saudi Arabia today would be possibly the Sinai Peninsula. The Philistines could be the Palestinians. I mean, this area was a problem when the Israel was a nation. In the Old Testament, this is where the Philistines today, this is where the Palestinians are, and have been a problem to Israel. And so that would be the Philistines. Tyre, I told you about the city, the unique thing about Alexander the Great destroying and sacking the city of Tyre. It was in the southern part of Lebanon. Lebanon was the land of the Phoenicians. And this was a major port city. Tyre was a major port city of the Phoenicians. And then Asher was the son of Shem, and where you get the Assyrian tribe from. Asher built Nineveh. We learn that again in Genesis chapter 10. He built Nineveh, which is the capital of Syria. Assyria, not Syria, but Assyria. The capital of Syria was Damascus. The capital of Assyria that conquered the northern tribes of Israel in the latter parts of the kings was Nineveh. And so you learn that. So those cities that surround Israel have this war, or come together in a confederation and mount a battle plan against Israel, and God destroys them. It tells us there in that passage. It tells us that they are burned up as wood and set on fire. Either God will rain down fire upon them, or he has some other means of eliminating them. Now, why are these nations conspiring against Israel? What is one thing, major thing, they are looking to do? You destroy Israel, you destroy the promises of God. You destroy God's covenant. Then you prove that God is not really the God. That's not the real God of Israel.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.